Please be seated, won't you? Did you know there's sort of some interesting statistics about when it gets warm for the first time in the spring? Have you ever known this? If you talk to people who work in ERs and other places, it's sort of known that usually the first full week of spring, the number of dog bites increases dramatically. And the number of sort of fist fights and other things that happen between people, as the weather gets warm, there's sort of a reaction in society to that warmth. Some of it's sort of being outside, some of it's sort of, you know, doing stuff. I don't know what's going on with the dogs, but evidently they feel like biting people when it gets warm, you know, and stuff like that. So yesterday it was a really warm day, and so when I came in to preach, this happens every once in a while, we have readings from year A in the lectionary, and I prepared for readings on year B. So my sermon's not going to fit the readings today. You're just going to have to kind of go with that. And we didn't have any parking yesterday, we had hand sanitizer back here, and instead of hand sanitizer, it's soap. So I'm blaming it all on the warm weather. So you can kind of go along with that. One of the texts that I had prepared for was a great little gospel about the feeding of the 5,000. I'm sure you're familiar with that. It's a time when Jesus is off somewhere else, and he begins to come down, and he wants to be alone. And he tries to get away from the crowd, and the crowd won't leave him. So they follow him, and he continues teaching. And he tells the disciples, just let them sort of take care of themselves. The disciples come and say, look, you know, we need to tell these people to go away. They're getting hungry. Let's send them out to the town so they can get something to eat. We've really got a problem. We've got a crisis. And he says, why are you bothering me, basically? He says, let them feed themselves. He says, you guys take care of this. It's not my worries. I'm going to go pray. And then they pick up, and the disciples realize they've got some baskets, and they have a few fish and some loaves. And then they begin to carry them out. And the story's a little different sequence in different Gospels, depending on which one that you read it from. And then they walk out, and then suddenly, everyone's eating. So the 5,000 or the multitude begin to eat. There's lots of ways to sort of interpret that, right? One is the miraculous, which changes the rules of nature, in that there were magical baskets that started pouring out fish and loaves. That's one way to interpret that story. Another interpretation is that everybody had something with them, just like you and I might travel, but I think in that day without Quick Trip and McDonald's, most likely people made sure they had provisions for whatever they were doing. But suddenly people saw other people sharing food, and they began to share what they had. And before you knew it, everyone had enough. It's a sense of the gospel of sharing, the gospel of doing that. Or there could have been some other way that this miracle produced itself. But nevertheless, it's a story that's meant to tell us something about how we can do the unexpected in moments of difficulty. Today's gospel that we had read is about salt and light. Salt, if it loses its flavor, is no good. Light, if it's hidden, doesn't show anything. And it's a series of gospels by Jesus that encourages us to see our discipleship as being meaningful and real and realistic. In other words, we're challenged to be the salt and the light in the midst of the world around us. In other words, to give the world flavor and to give the world a sense of God's goodness and to show the way that's before us. Now, how many of you have ever prayed for a miracle? You don't have to raise your hands, but I bet most of you. Now, some of you might pray for everyday miracles. You know, the kind I'm talking about, oh, Lord, I'm running late. Make a parking spot open to me. You know, if you do that, then X, Y, Z, but I really need that parking spot. And there's those kinds of prayers, right? If you're a student, oh, Lord, I know I haven't bothered reading the text. I haven't paid attention to the lectures. I'm sorry for not preparing, but please give me the answers so that I can do well on this test today. Anybody ever prayed that way? Maybe most of our students are probably much better students than I was. But then there's other times when we earnestly pray for the miraculous. Let my son be healed. Let my wife be healed. Let my husband be healed. Let me get through this difficult time in my life. Let me have the strength to face whatever is there. And sometimes we hope that something might happen. And here's sort of how I understand miracles. I think all of us participate with each other in creating the miraculous around us. I really think that's what's at the heart of the stories that we hear Jesus telling. I think the feeding of the 5,000 is a challenge to us, not to expect that somehow fish are going to fly out of the air from nowhere, but it is a challenge for us to see that if we share, if we offer others, miracles can happen. I think the challenge of being salt and light in the world is one in which we are challenged to be willing to enter moments of difficulty with others, moments of joy even, moments of celebration, moments of challenge, in which we surround people with love and caring and prayer and hope, and we offer clothing and food and shelter and emotional support and all those different things, that we can become a miracle, so to speak, for those people. And if we do it out of a sense of God's love, miraculous things can happen. But what if we decide not to do that? What if we don't want to be the salt? What if we don't want to be the light? What if we really don't want to share? So what happens in the story of the feeding of the 5,000 if the disciples went out and said, well, here's some food, and no one shared anything? Probably it wouldn't have made it in the gospel, but... Or if, you know, what might have happened with that crowd? I think we actually know something about that, don't we? We sort of know how the world works when people are really hungry and there's crowds. When people are really frustrated and hot and, you know, we're like the dogs. We start sort of biting each other. When there's limited resources, when there's not enough, we sort of get into basal reaction and we can begin to push each other out, or we hoard, or we do different things. And I think we can look at all kinds of images from throughout the world in which we aren't working together. We aren't thinking of others. We aren't being the salt and light. We certainly aren't being disciples of Jesus. And to me, that makes our faith much more real. I can think of all kinds of stories and moments when I've seen communities become miraculous communities for others. When support and love and caring comes at times when no one sort of expected it. I think a little bit about, there's a story that's been floating around about a man up in Detroit that walks 22 miles to work or something. Have you guys seen that? And there sort of was an activity on the internet where people raised money and got him a car, a brand new car. I'm wondering what's going to happen to the car. You know, I wonder what the rest of the story is going to be. Hopefully it's going to be wonderful. But I think that's part of our yearning, that when we see something that seems like it's not right, we will react. We will make a change. We want to see that moment of inspiration and we want to react to other people and to do the right things. I think when any of us hear of someone who might be hungry or in need or we're in a place, we would certainly offer whatever we had, but sometimes maybe we're not challenged enough to see ourselves as the salt and the light in any given situation. So I want to challenge you as you go about your week this week to really hear that call from Jesus, to really hear that you are to be the salt and the light in the world, to be that flavor, to shine the light on that goodness around you, and to allow the miraculous to happen through you. Maybe we don't think about that. But when you get a prayer request, to really pray. When you get a request to help others, that you do what you can. That when you see someone hurting or in a time of need, that you shore them up. And it might even be that you sometimes are the one that needs to receive that care. And I think that's often difficult to be open to that. But then sometimes know that there's yearning and there's need. And we can be that hope and that light. So maybe you have some extra fish. Maybe you have some extra loaves. Maybe you have extra time or extra gifts. And maybe you too can be called to share. So the crowd had more than enough. And when they gathered them together, they had baskets filled beyond what was needed. Maybe we can fill baskets too. Amen.